Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
From classic whodunits to modern psychological thrillers, each episode offers exclusive insights, behind-the-scenes stories, and discussions on the art of crafting compelling crime narratives. Whether you're a seasoned investigator or a newcomer to the genre, Books to Die For is your ultimate guide to the thrilling world of crime literature.
So listen, we've got a writer sitting here, and he's got a book out. It's called The Wrong Side Revelry. And it's a novel of mystery, murder, and the Mardi Gras. So, Jeffrey, hey, Head, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Nice speaking with you.
Nice to speak with you.
Yeah. Hopefully it's that courteous at the end. I don't know. It might get rough here. You were a lawyer for a long time, right? Like 30 years or something?
Oh, gee, I'm still a lawyer, actually. I've been going now since, 1980. I'm well over the 40-year mark as a lawyer, and I'm still kind of plugging along. And then this writing gig sort of has gotten in process, I'll say.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that because you're a lawyer, and then all of a sudden it says at 68 you started boxing, and now you're writing. Why write when you can box?
Well, that's a good question. My best answer is the boxing. Nobody's been able to knock any sense into my head just yet. So, therefore, I write.
So you get into the writing world, which obviously you're doing it for the money. You know, what else would you do it for? No, why would you jump into the writing world? What is it you think you need? What's the desire for you? How's that?
Good question. And I'm going to give you the best answer I can. First of all, I write for people to be entertained. The world, as you guys both know, is crazy right now. Maybe it's been for a long time, but it is particularly crazy right now.
Sure.
I think people enjoy something that pulls them away from the grind and all the bad news daily and so forth. So that's a big part of it. And then frankly, with this book, there's a little extra incentive, and we'll get to that if you care to.
Well, I didn't notice anything crazy in the world. What do you mean? With this, you say it's entertainment. What made you write this particular book? So this is a mystery and taking place in New Orleans and detective book and stuff. What drew you to that?
Okay. My passion for at least my adult life, and frankly probably stems back even or goes back even into my childhood, I have been fascinated by true crime. And so when I kind of stumbled across you, I thought, God, this is a godsend. But I have read, watched, followed, researched crime and then crime fiction and all manner of things for so many years now. For me, writing in that genre, they say write what you know. And I think that I know that genre and that turf pretty well. So it was an easy go for me there.
Was that from going out and actually practicing the art?
Well, interestingly enough, I'll digress and just tell you that I struck up a friendship with Richard Shelby, who was one of the original detectives on the East Area Rapist case, Golden State Killer. Richard is very old now, but I've done a little sleuthing on the side, but I think really I'm more of an armchair criminologist than anything else.
Yeah, I know Richard, or I've met him. I've had him on the show, too, a long time ago.
Good guy.
Yeah. So and I guess also, because you were writing, this is fictional, right?
It's absolutely fiction, yes, totally.
Right. So it all just comes out of the mind. It's not something based on a true story. Up till now, I've been doing nothing but true crime. And I always say, you know, I guess the advantage to writing a fictional crime is you can make sure justice is done, because quite often, especially in the crimes that people write about, such as myself, justice was never really served. It's good to have control over the outcome. Is that sort of something you find?
Well, absolutely. You can sort of make it go the way you care to as a writer. And, of course, as a lawyer, I'm going to step aside and tell you that I've told clients for years, you don't find justice in the courthouse. You may find money in the civil side. You may find jail time or something on the criminal side. But it's not justice in the sense that I think you're speaking of and that most of us would really like to see.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that the majority of the country would agree, and that there's no positive sense of justice. Like, you don't feel like everyone's going to get what they deserve type thing. They'll get something, but not necessarily what they deserve.
Very little question about it. And particularly on the criminal stuff you're speaking of, you know, you don't bring people back. You don't undo the horrors that they live. So there is no real justice. There is just as much as this earth can give us, I think.
Now, you have done this and you've centered it in New Orleans, so is there a particular reason to that?
Yes, there is. Number one, when the country thinks about Mardi Gras, they think New Orleans. I live in Mobile, Alabama, and this will probably be disputed by the New Orleans people, but Mardi Gras originated in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, that's right.
And Mardi Gras sort of moved over to New Orleans, and the country knows New Orleans. Very few of them know of Mobile, Alabama. One other part, as I was thinking and beginning to write this book, I thought, Jeff, you're about to write about a bunch of, I'm going to say, elite, wealthy people and some not-so-flattering portraits of them. If you do that in Mobile, they're all going to be mad at you. But if you do it in New Orleans, you don't really care.
Is this set in post-Hurricane Katrina or pre? Or
this is like modern right now in New Orleans.
Okay.
Jenna Dupree, I guess, is one of your main characters, let's just say. How do you get into the heads of your characters like that, or your Detective Decker O'Day and stuff? How do you write into their situations? Do you see them? Do you hear them? What's your experience with your characters?
Very good question. And I'm going to start with Jenna Dupree, because Jenna is a classic psychopath. And in the criminal world, and you will know this very well, many of the real hardened criminals have mental illness and or a psychopathic kind of character, and that is Jenna. And I have witnessed that and seen that. I've actually seen that firsthand, although not necessarily with a serial killer, but I've known several people in my legal career that I am 100% certain they are psychopaths. And so it's something that's just everywhere within the criminal world, and pretty easy for me to write. Writing a female, that is a bit of a challenge. But on the other hand, when you get the mindset of a psychopath, basically they're only interested in themselves, and anything else is just going to be collateral damage. So I kind of wrote her that way. As far as, and she is, of course, the antagonist in the book. Decker O'Day, I like the boxing angle of it. It sort of gives me some gritty reality of it. I wanted a character that had made some transitions in his life. He had a very tough life as a kid. He ultimately, boxing sort of put him on the map, got him in a good place. And then he had brains enough to go to law school, but he ultimately returns to his roots as a detective because his dad had been a beat cop in New Orleans. You know, I guess I do probably pick some people that I have known and grab some of their characteristics, and then I just sort of fill in the blanks to an extent, if that makes sense.
Have you killed off people you know in real life? You know, like you come across someone and you're like, this guy's an ass, and he ends up being you know thrown off a cliff or something somewhere down the road, or.
You know, I'm going to respond in this fashion. Everybody, when I started writing, and I actually wrote my first book was called Unholy Intentions. But when I wrote that and I had some folks reading it, they were all like, are you going to put me in the next book? Am I going to be in the next book? And my question to them was, do you really want to show up in a book the way I see you? It may not be the way you see yourself. So no, I have killed off none of the people I know. Now, I can think of plenty that I might very well like to kill off, but I'm going to take the fifth beyond that, I think.
No. Why don't you give us a name and phone number, and we'll get them on the line.
I'm looking for some contract work. As I said, the Irishman, do you paint houses?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's several do.
Yeah.
Well, listen, and one of the characters I find interesting is you've got the co-detective, I guess you would say, or the partner kind of with Decker O'Day, which is Gail Waits. And not only is she a female, but she's black and she's a lesbian. So are you trying to tell us something?
I am trying to tell you something. And that is again an excellent question. I will tell you. Let me start macro and then get a little finer with Gail. I have two really good childhood friends, and they are both very bright, and they're both very much into the political scene. And as I said in my acknowledgement, I really don't have the stomach for that, but. We discussed via email and stuff. We've kept up, and we discussed current political issues and hot button issues in our society today. And I wanted to tell what I call a darn good tale, but interweave into that some what I think of as hot button social issues. And some of this will be popular, some of this won't. There are great disparities between black and white, particularly in the society world in New Orleans. I made Gail black. I wanted to contrast her as a black girl growing up in a very tough environment in the ghetto in New Orleans with Jenna Dupree, who literally rich, white, pretty, socialite. It always helps to add a little depth and character to give the characters some aberrations in some fashion, and I have great respect for gay people. When I went to NYU many years ago, I was right in Greenwich Village, so I literally was exposed in a way that I had never been before, and I found that they are just like the rest of us. They're just simply wired a little different genetically, and so. I made Gail lesbian. I think she's a strong person. She is a survivor and survived some really tough things. And she's also bright. I always write my books with the view to a series. And I very much like the character of Decker O'Day, and Gail will have a bigger role, be a little more prominent in the second book. So
there is a second book.
Oh yeah, I have two ideas, and actually have started some storylines with two. It probably should be two different books because they're two pretty significant ideas, and I've been told by some literary folks, don't put too much into one book. Make that a second book.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Now, I will temper that by saying you as a writer need to at least break even with your writing. And Alan was commenting on that earlier about, you know, you clearly go into it to make money, which is a bit, that's a bit rich to start with. But, you know, assuming I can get some readers and make a go of things, and I don't mean that in the sense of make a pot full of money, but I do like to entertain, and I do have something I think I'd like to say to the world. I want to be very clear about this. I don't intend to try to ram any kind of politics or any kind of views down anybody's throat. So I wrote this book with the notion that I would basically by osmosis, by some diffusion of molecules as you read, they would move from maybe my book into someone's brain surreptitiously. And they might get a different view than they might have otherwise had. And all I ask of people is that they think about things. So yeah, there will be a second or third book and so forth.
Okay, so with the same protagonist then?
Yes. I will have Decker O'Day is my guy. Gail Waits will take a more prominent role. I don't want to give too much away here, but they both have very prominent roles to play in the two different storylines that I have, but they will definitely work together, and they will They'll find some villains, and let's just put it this way. They do not take prisoners lightly, so it's kind of like the Reacher stuff. You do not mess with the special investigators.
Do you have this kind of outlined in your head on how many books you want to do and where you want to go with your characters? Do you do that ahead of time, or are you just doing it as you go?
My style of writing, and I've really done some with outline and some without, but again, it just seems to me that the way readership is today, most people want to read, they want to kind of know the author and they want to really know the character. And so, you know, I write with a view that I am going to hopefully leave you at the end of the book with the desire to see these same folks again. Not in the same story, but you know, you're going to know them. You're going to feel like you were right there perhaps with them if I've done a good job. And then I'm going to let them sort of do their thing in the next tale or two.
And now, when I look at the premise of the book, and even something that what happens is, I know, like, two gunmen kill 53 people at a Jewish synagogue in town. Between that and your characters, are you looking for a fight?
There is certainly the possibility that I am poking the bear. Let me elucidate a little bit. One of my friends that I referred to is a girl named Elisa Harris Keston, and she is Jewish, and there were two Jewish families in my little hometown of Cartersville, Georgia, where I grew up. And Elisa and I have remained friends through these many years, even though she's married and been gone and lives up in Westchester, New York, and has for the past 50, 60 years. And the anti-Semitism is not... That is a very hot button topic, as you say, and I'm trying to bring a little focus within the context of my tale on, hey, what's going on here? And if you read the book, you will see some things and hear and I think learn some things that are probably not widely known out in the general population about why the anti-Semitism is prevalent, why it's kind of ramping up now, and so forth. And again, that's me trying to sort of surreptitiously give you a little bit of a view that you might not otherwise have. And it is historically accurate in a lot of what I let you learn in there. You know, having said that, if I start to get the hate mail, then Alan, I will know that I have gotten some degree of fame, because right now, I doubt that there would be three people who'd be interested enough to write Jeff Head.
Right.
So if you can get me to the point where I'm getting hate mail, I'll thank you.
Well, I'll make sure this is done. Well, the saddest thing is, people don't take into account what you're really saying in the book or reading. They just hear this is what it is, and then they just throw you under the bus type thing. You're bad. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you know, we all know, I think the three of us would agree that there are people out there who will read the book and they will be a little bit deeper in their thinking and they will be able to turn over some of the things in their mind and say, well, is there some good there? Is there some correct there? Maybe I could learn a little something. And then there will just be the people who are you're not going to change them anyhow. Their mind, their mindset is set in concrete or something harder like a diamond.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, they're just going to read it. It's going to go on by, and if they get mad at you, they say, "Ah, that so and so guy. You know, I hate him. He's the liberal. Blah 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 blah."
Yeah, libtard.
Yeah. Well, here is the thing: categories. When someone categorizes you or me or Mike, what they're really doing is they're avoiding thinking about it, because it's easy to stamp a label on something. You really don't have to think about it. You just put the stamp on there and you go, yeah, that guy's a liberal, or that guy hates guns, or that guy loves Jews, or whatever their little stamp is, and it allows them to go along with their life without actually having to do any real brain work to say, let me think about that a little bit. Let me consider that, turn that over in my mind some, And so that's my opinion.
Do you write New Orleans as if it's a character in the book? Does it feel and smell and taste like a character? Do you know what I mean? Is it its own body in itself in the book?
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you that I think any good book, and I'm a voracious reader, and again, have been for years, but, you know, it always seems to add something to the story if you can get people to the point where, for example, I'll just tell you, it's hot in New Orleans. It's muggy in New Orleans about 90% of the time. You know, if you can get them to feel that kind of heat, moisture, gritty feel, if you can get them to smell the chicory in the coffee or the beignets frying in the quarter, and New Orleans is I'm not knocking New Orleans. New Orleans has got lots of wonderful things. It's got tons of history. It's got beautiful architecture, great food. It's the only place I know where you can go to a drive-up daiquiri stand, okay? So you can get your libation and roll away with it in your car, never having to leave the car. But, you know, it's just got something that, and I guess there's a bit of a mystique about New Orleans, and probably rightfully so, because it is a diverse city, and there, make no mistake, it is a city. Now, it's had some hard times and some good times and some whatever, but there's a lot of different stuff in New Orleans.
Probably a lot of bodies in those bayous, too.
Oh, my God. Well, not so much now, because you throw them in there and the alligators eat.
That's right. And the snakes.
Oh, so snakes and alligators. I mean, you're kind of getting to my book now, so let's go away. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you're over there and you want to get rid of a body, it probably wouldn't take a genius to say, you know, there's lots of alligators in those bayous, and they're meat eaters. Let's just roll old Jeff over in the bayou and, you know.
Oh, see, now we're getting ideas. That's right.
And then there's the rougarou that's in there in the New Orleans that, you know, it's kind of like a werewolf thing.
Well, you know, voodoo is certainly, voodoo and magic are associated with New Orleans. I had an old general tell me many years ago that voodoo and black magic will trump logic and reason every day. Okay, so yeah, again, I'm to the. If you want to find some brujas in New Orleans, if you know you want to find some witch doctors, you can damn near find anything
over there. What do you yourself get out of writing a book, or how has writing this book in itself changed you?
I don't know whether writing the books changed me so much. I do think that if I'm true to my beliefs, I do try to keep an open mind, and as I write things, I try to roll them around in there and see if anything makes any sense or should change my perspective. You know, what do I get out of it? I get the sense of accomplishment that I have put out something that meets my standards. And I will tell you, my standards are pretty high. Now, that doesn't mean you'll like my book. That doesn't mean I have a good book. But what it does mean is this. I read, as I said, a lot, and I am just shocked by some of the things that are published that I just think, geez, that is just garbage. I mean, and that's coming from some pretty big-name authors. I don't want to do that, and I won't put something out that I don't think I would enjoy reading, if that makes sense.
Right. You've been reading my books again.
No. I need Jenna Dupre, to all of her friends and society, she's just a beautiful, rich, white socialite who is just charming when she wants to be. And so, that's part of the way, as you well know, that they stay hidden and they do this stuff is their ability to seem normal or whatever.
So she lacks complete remorse, eh?
Complete remorse. She is the person that if you are between her and her goals, whatever it is she desires, you are expendable. And you will be collateral damage.
What woman did you create her after?
Oh,
But,
don't say your wife. She's listening.
That's a loaded question. And while I'm prone to fall in traps, I'm going to sidestep this one a little bit. I am going to tell you that me and my two friends sort of laugh about, you know, this could be so-and-so. There are some similarities there. And that's about as far as I'm going to go in naming anybody. But there is somebody that sort of came to my mind as I grabbed some of the characteristics.
We've got them on the line right now.
You didn't know that, Jeff, did you?
So listen, book is out now, available, and do you have a website or places you'd like people to go and find you?
I'm going to start this way. My website is my name. It's just Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-Y, A, Head, H-E-A-D.com. I have an Instagram account with the same name. I'm on Twitter, although I can't say that I'm very proficient about it. And frankly, the easiest way to find me is if you put in Google or a search engine the wrong side of Revelry, you're going to pull up a heck of a lot of places where you can buy a book.
So we'll have that up on our website. And, you know, Jeff needs to get out of this terrible situation he's in. He's being held hostage by this Jenna chick, you know. She's like a real hag. And he needs a few bucks so he can get out of that place, you know. It's terrible. Even boxing, he can't take her on. She's just... Well, the book, The Wrong Side of Revelry, and our guest is the author of that, Jeffrey A. Head. So thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, well, it's been a lot of fun, and I, you know, I'm just thrilled to have the opportunity.
This has been a production of the House of Mystery Radio Show. To find out more about our show, guests, or hosts, go to our website at houseofmysteryradio.com.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery Radio Show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.